Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. So some of you like that term penultimate. I guess we are expanding one's vernacular here with this show. And so if you would like to call in, again, I'm going to have a guest coming in. I will give you the number, but we probably won't be able to get to the phone. 844-320-4299. And more importantly, if you cannot listen to all of these shows, they are now rebroadcasting these shows every Saturday at 1 p.m. and on Sundays at 9 p.m. So with that said, and understanding how important the content is, because I received some feedback from somebody today that I actually hurt his head when he listens to the show. And I have to think that that person, if they continue listening, then they must be a masochist. Is that what that is? And I must be the sadist, because I do enjoy challenging paradigms. I do enjoy putting people into a, you know, could that be? Is this possible? And looking into the source documents, materials, and what have you, because there's just a plethora of information. Empirical data is so abundant, we're drowning in it. It is information overload society nowadays. And so I took that to heart when a gentleman told me that I hurt his head when he listens to my show and he loves it. And so I would just say this, that if you want to kind of put all of this together, because I know it is hard to kind of cross-stitch all of this, it really does help to re-listen to the content in these shows, especially some of these subject matter experts that I bring in, from Trevor Lawton, Dr. Vile, Douglas Gibbs, Mark Erbach, Hancock, and so forth. And I know I kind of listed them last week, but for you to garner and understand what we need to be doing and moving forward, and you know what's at stake here. This Platonism thing is a huge threat. And I don't even think Plato understood what he was doing, other than he, you know, was able to fully articulate a plan in literally moving an independent and free people towards a statist ideology and becoming subjugated and enslaved to the state. And so, again, do not forget that you can go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to download the podcasts of all of my shows and content. And again, you probably, when you go there, and if you've been getting my podcast, you'll notice that it's kind of changed a little bit. And that way, in subsequent years, as I start adding more and more podcasts, you will be able to have access to that. And I'm actually going to be adding a podcast page for my new radio show that will be starting on Red State Talk Radio. And what I'm going to try to do, it'll take me a little while to figure out this technology in marrying terrestrial to the internet, and so how to do that and maintain this show as well as this national show on Red State Talk Radio, it will be a learning curve a little bit for me and others involved, because I'm actually going to be the first host on that network that actually has a live over-the-air show. I mean, they have lots of live content, but none of it is really necessarily going over the air. They have people picking up as syndicated. They kind of started on the internet and they've got picked up, but with me, I'm kind of starting on the air and getting picked up by them. So it's a little bit different. And again, we've got some learning to do. And I guess who better than me to, I guess, inflict that kind of pain upon myself. Anywho, the Republican Coffee Club this Friday will still be meeting at the No Lie Bangkok restaurant, brew house place, and the location and information on that is on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org website. The thing you have to bear in mind, and you may want to go, because they're talking about moving the venue, because I believe as of the beginning of the year, the venue cost has gone up to $7, plus a dollar for donuts. So it's like $8 to get your coffee on and have a donut and listen to some really good information. This Friday is the president of the Spokane County Cattlemen, and he will be giving you everything you want to know about the best beef in town. And again, understanding the venue may change, you may want to, you know, get in there and talk about it, because they're looking at moving this over to the GOP headquarters. Tonight, I don't know where you're going, but if you're not going to Darcy's out on Sprague in Spokane Valley, then you're heading in the wrong direction. And hopefully you got, you know, the significant others in your life and all those who you love and care something really nice, so that they can quickly forgive you when you kind of bring up, well, just remember that nice gift I gave you? Well, that's, you know, I need your forgiveness when I forget that I've got these important meetings to go to, like the Northwest Grassroots Movie Night tonight. That begins at 5:30 at Darcy's. And this is another must-attend event, because they're covering DACA. What is DACA, and why would you care about DACA? Because it seems like, you know, DACA is this program that they've put into place that is, you know, it's a progressive Democrat policy that the progressives are protecting, and they want to hold on to that. The interesting thing is, and the one thing I'm going to add to this, so that if you're going in there, you can kind of understand that the 14th Amendment covers this, and it spells this out. If you read the actual debates in Congress regarding the 14th Amendment, there was nowhere and no way in Hades that the federal government decided to create this concept of what we will call, for a bad term, but I can't think of a better term, anchor babies. In other words, people that come here and be able to have a baby, and if that child is born here, it becomes a citizen. Well, that's not per the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, let me read Article or Section 1 of the 14th Amendment for you. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, and here's the critical part, I'm going to say it twice now, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, which means that they have to be subject to the jurisdiction. So back in those days and in that vernacular, I'll use that word again, the way they were using speech and the way they were using words were very, very critical. And back in those days, they were subjects before they revolted to the king and the British crown and to parliament. Everybody is a subject to some sovereign and or some government that has jurisdiction over you. And so the people that were coming here, whether they were coming here as visitors or whatever, they hadn't applied and had not become legal citizens, that means they were still subject to whatever foreign entity that they were subject to before they got here. And in, you know, a high percentage of the people today that fall into DACA are of the Hispanic, I guess, origins. And so you could probably point to Mexico, Central America, South America, maybe, or what have you. And they, these people, these folks, the illegal aliens and those who kind of fall into this no man's land, they're not in no man's land. They are still subjects to those foreign entities and government. The only way you become subject to is when your parents legally become citizens. And then you become a citizen when you are born to legal citizens. That's why in the military, when you have a couple that has, you know, gives birth to a child in Japan or what have you, they're not, those kids aren't Japanese citizens, because those parents are subject to the United States government. They are not subject to the government of Japan or the Republic of Korea or what have you. These two good citizens and their child are still citizens, because they are still subject to the United States. And that's how it works. And that's why they use that very specific word, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States. In closing this little part of this section, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So that's the other little thing that most people don't realize, is that we are citizens of the state. And so let me recognize the fact that I've got sponsors and I've got a hard break here. So we're going to go to a hard break. And when we come back, we're going to have a special guest. It's going to be Nick Richardson from the Greater Veterans Organization. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after a few words from our sponsors. Thank you. Okay, so we are back, and in studio, like I promised, we have Nick Richardson, and that's Nick or Nicholas?
Either one is fine. I typically go by Nick.
Okay, well, so Nick, you are the founder of Greater Veterans, and that's a local organization. And one of the things I realized, that out of every geographic region in the United States, Spokane actually has one of the highest concentrations of veterans in this area, or in the United States. And so, I mean, it's apropos that you've created this organization, but, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, you, the impetus of why you created this and your organization, what it's going to do.
All right, so I'm a Spokane native, born and raised, joined the Army in 99 to 03, did a tour in Kosovo, worked overseas as a contractor in Germany for a little bit, wife's German, three kids, speak the language, that whole shebang, came back over to the U.S. In 06, did 6 years of college back-to-back, got my master's in criminal justice, and had hoped to pursue that career field, but I also got my foot crushed when I was in. Went through a 2-year period similar to PTSD, which is when I developed the services that are Greater Veterans and what we are going to do for our brothers and sisters.
Right.
And those services helped me through that period of severe depression that got me through, and I know they'll get a lot of our guys and gals through the same thing as well.
Now, I know that there's a lot of veterans organizations out there, and Wounded Warriors, those types of things. So in differentiating, I want you to get into the nuts and bolts of what you're planning on doing for veterans that differentiates you from all of these other organizations, because I think that we owe it to those who put their lives, you know, the ultimate sacrifice, and their bodies and their livelihoods and future for the liberty of not just ourselves, but our ideals as we, you know, and a lot of people think that we just, you know, are meddling, but I think they get lost, and that dogma gets lost in the true reality that we stand for individual liberty and individual freedom, and we're trying to ensure that that happens regardless of the politics behind this. The guys that are going out into the front, boots on the ground, that's what they believe. They're not believing that they're here to support corporate America and it's meddling in the world. And so anyway, what is it that you are going to be doing in services and so forth? So go ahead.
All right, so our key services are going to be a gym, a space to work out. We're also going to have a auditorium for concerts, hiring events, feast for, you know, some of us come from dysfunctional families, don't have families here, what have you. We're going to try and get into the service dog thing the best we can. We're working on some details on that right now. We also want to have a restaurant, cafe bistro type deal so that veterans can have a place to eat while they're there, as well as like a gaming, you know, kind of hangout area for the kids, like a rec lounge sort of thing. We want to make it open to the public, the veterans, their families. That way we can integrate back in, because our thought is, you know, they say 7% of us have served, will serve, or are serving. So if you take close friends and family, round that number up to 10%, that means 90% of the population does not know what we go through. And if we stay in our own little island and keep them shut out of what we're going through, we're not going to integrate back into the community and civilian life correctly. And that's going to cause a dissent, like when the VA tries to get more budget to do things for us, or an organization like Greater Veterans or anybody tries to do anything for veterans, you know, your big money sponsors aren't going to want to spend because they're not going to understand you're not doing nothing for the public, which is at the end of the day, the core of their clientele.
Right.
So you got to approach it from a business standpoint.
Sure, yeah.
And that's why we created a name for the center itself.
Interesting. Well, let me ask your take on one thing, because I really hate it. Just, I've gotten to a point, maybe because I've been a veteran for so long, that when I go to public events, when I go to party events and so forth, and the party or the patriotic organization, you know, they always go out of their way to ask the veterans to stand up so they can applaud them. And in all honesty, most of those organizations have really done nothing, you know, as far as an organization in championing true veterans causes and truly helping veterans. It's just like lip service. And I'm getting to the point where I just don't want to stand up. And I'm becoming rude about it, to where people go, hey, you're a veteran, stand up. And you go, you know what? I'm tired of being the monkey on the string because the organ grinder is playing a tune I don't want to dance to. And I want to see organizations creating symbiotic relationships with organizations like yourself and actually reaching out and helping real veterans, heroes, people that have, you know, made sacrifices. And I use the term hero like most people way too loosely, because, you know, if you go into a voluntary service, you're kind of accepting these responsibilities, you know, I'm going to get shot at. I'm going to do this. So I don't know if the hero connotation really applies in context to the person that, you know, literally dives on the grenade. That's a hero, because that's not in the job description. That is in the character description, if you know what I mean. So anyway, how do you feel about going to events like that and asking people to stand up and all that?
Well, I try and be a man of my word first and foremost. The other thing I try and do strictly is be honest with the public. You know, when you're first starting an organization like this, you are primarily self-funded, number one. Number two, you do have to spend money on marketing to get this out there. I don't draw a paycheck. I founded this 100% on my own. I've paid for the trademark, majority of the merchandise, the website, et cetera, et cetera. So it takes time to build that. And once it's built and you got a good, solid business plan in place, it's easier to keep it rolling forward. So like right now, for example, we're working with the board to identify which key services we're going to focus on in phases, because, you know, in all reality, you're not going to get a big chunk of change and open up everything at once. So,
correct.
You know, I just think more organizations need to honor their word, stick to their, you know, game plan and not deviate from it, but at the same time do what they say they're going to do. And a lot of them aren't. I mean, you know, being perfectly honest, they aren't.
Right. And some parties tend to make, you know, I've been to a couple of different party events, and, you know, some parties just make a big deal out of, you know, having you stand up, and then other parties, they don't even do it. And I go, okay, well, at least I know that, you know, they're not doing lip service. So I don't know if I'm insulted more just by the lip service, or if I'm insulted more by somebody, you know, not even lifting a finger to try to mention that we need to start doing something. I think it needs to be a part of the dialogue. And so, interesting. I thought that, I was an outlier. And as I went into social media in my feelings on this, apparently more and more people kind of feel the same way, that they're kind of getting tired of standing up and sitting down because somebody wants to feel better about themselves. And by applauding, you know, for a moment in time, you know, and taking this moment in time in their program, then we, you know, we made them feel better by standing up.
Yeah. It's sad. You know, I mean, there are vets out there that, you know, want to get a big name for themselves, make money just like a Hollywood celebrity.
Sure.
And then there's some out there, you know, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm doing this for the love and the passion. And, you know, doing it for the right reasons, and it is frustrating.
And I recognize that. As a matter of fact, I've not ever taken a paycheck for the sale of my books or anything else. All the money goes back into providing content, educating people, and so forth, in growing this concept of Republic Review. And so I recognize that, and I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to help you, because I believe, as I've mentioned before, that I believe your group, your audience, your membership, and who you're catering to and trying to serve are people that really get what I'm trying to do as well. And absolutely, I think that there is this symbiosis and so forth. And so with that, I can hear that we've got a hard break coming up. And so, folks, if you can, please stay tuned. We will be right back with Nick Richardson right after this break. Thank you very much. Okay, so we are back, and we have Nick Richardson from Greater Veterans, and that's a local Spokane organization. And right before we were going to the break, I was kind of, I'll just say, ranting or relieving myself about this whole facade of, you know, lip service and what have you. And I know that you have had a lot of interaction with, you know, groups and so forth, and trying to get, and how long have you been doing this, by the way?
We've been officially a 501c3 just over a year, and I've been working on it almost three.
Oh, okay. So you've been up to your elbows in trying to move this forward, and in getting with different organizations and coming up, and I know you've done events and so forth, but and I was, again, going off about how I felt, but, you know, tell me how you feel.
Well, you know, it's frustrating out there because, you know, you get the veteran side of the thing and you also get the business side, and, you know, there are veterans out there that could help progress this just because they have a bigger social media presence and or Hollywood presence than you do. But at the same time, they want to get compensated for their time, and then it's tough as an organization, not only spending your own money, but the organization's money to build your future, build your reputation, and trying to figure out if these guys are going to draw, and, you know, how much is getting compensated versus getting overwhelmingly compensated.
Right.
There's guys out there that are, you know, $5,000 to get as a guest speaker. I won't mention any names. And there's some that draw, you know, that get 100,000 plus.
Right. And so they may draw that as far as a compensation, but I just try to keep that in perspective as to, I wonder how many, you know, just because they're able to market themselves, just because they happen to be in the right place at the right time. I mean, I don't know if you've ever, you know, how long you served in the Army was one tour?
Yeah, 4 years.
4 years. So I did 20 in the Marine Corps. And so you never know when your orders might put you in a place or in a position where you actually rub elbows with somebody or you do something. Because I actually have a handwritten letter of appreciation from Gerald Ford because I supported the logistics of a particular event that he hosted when he was the post or former president. I was in the Pentagon and worked with Ollie North when I was working in the Central American Joint Intelligence Team when he was doing his thing and he got in trouble and so forth. So, but there's people that capitalize on that. And there's people that, without mentioning the names, because I know Ollie North is a good guy and I don't know what he commands. I've never asked him to come out and speak. I could probably reach out and go, yeah, you remember so-and-so and so-and-so? Well, I was, you know, there doing this at that point in time. And he'd probably go, yeah, you know, I remember that. But bottom line, I don't believe that most of these guys have kind of forgotten, or at least I don't believe most of these guys have forgotten talking about forgetting where you came from. And, you know, in the service, I don't know, the Army has Mustangs, right? They're what we call Mustangs, where a guy goes from enlisted to warrant or to a commission or what have you. Those are Mustangs. And so, you know, a lot of times they become the worst officers because they completely forget where they came from and they completely forget what life is like, and they become tyrants. They become, you do what you're told, and because I'm in charge, and that's why. And yeah, you can do that, but respect is a two-way street. And I think that that's the same thing in these posts. You know, I'm going to come here out here and talk, and I'm going to do this. And for an organization like yourself, asking for somebody to come in to speak and understanding who they're talking, who they're coming in to help, you know, I don't think they're helping you when they're charging you money or the kind of money that you can't afford.
Well, and that's just it. You know, you don't want to bash anybody, or you don't want to accept all these handouts, and you want to work for what you get and pay your dues and
sure,
yada, yada, yada. But I mean, at the same time, you know, a little help's nice, because I'm doing something that's going to literally benefit every veteran, every veteran, spouse, kids. It's going to benefit the community as a whole. It's a holistic, non-pill popping approach to,
sure, sure,
you know, wholeness, you know.
Right, 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 right. I've approached a sponsor, and one time the sponsor, you know, quipped back. And it's a local sponsor here in the area. I'm not going to mention names, but this sponsor quipped back. And I think maybe we need to start mentioning names, but we'll, let me cogitate on that for a while, and ruminate and give it some serious thought. But I was talking to a sponsor, and I said, I would like you to come and sponsor this. This is what we're doing. And I kind of explained, you know, I'm trying to save the Constitution here. And the guy goes, well, you're basically taking money from me so that you can have this show and so you can make money. And I go, actually, I'll give you my accountant's phone number and name. You can go and call her, who's done my bookkeeping since the very beginning of my LLC, and I haven't taken a penny. I've actually lost tens of thousands of dollars, if you want to call it that, in investing into this, but I haven't taken one penny. I've taken sometimes some of my own money back, but I'm still in debt to myself as a company by a long shot. And even if I got to a point where I was making that kind of money, it wouldn't be coming back into my pocket. The Lord's blessed my wife and I to a point where we don't need to live to an opulent level, because, and this is one of my premises, I may have told you this, I truly believe for what I am doing in moving forward, I have to take the framer's approach and putting aside my differences with others and putting aside my self-interests in trying to elevate myself above others. So I can't afford to do that. And I believe that the Lord will, you know, not bless me anymore if I become a self-serving person. So I have this condemnation towards these people that do this to you and other organizations where they've come from, you know, the same side of life. And so sorry, I'm talking way too much.
No, I mean, I completely agree with you, and that's kind of why I do it the way I do it. I mean, I've lost plenty of my own money. I mean, it's getting to the point where the wife's like, okay, this is it. My current D.C. trip is for business, for the organization that I'm going on the 19th. But that is entirely 110% self-funded by myself. And, you know, it's you know, only about $2,500 out the door. But, I mean, $2,500 could go to a lot of other things, like paying off a vehicle.
Oh, sure.
You know, paying off a bill for a longer period of time. And I'm doing this for the organization because I'm passionate about what I believe in.
And you have to have a regular job in doing this to keep, you know, a roof over your head, to keep food on the table, because you have a family and a wife who, you know, has some level of expectations that you can do that. And I completely understand. My hat's off to you for what you're having to go through and what you do. And I hope that you don't get, you know, the wind knocked out of your sail to where, because having been there, I'm happy to help you. And I hope that the listeners here on Money Talk Radio, you know, can say, you know what can we do to help greater veterans? And so I'm hoping that they can look at, and do you have a website and a domain?
Yeah, it's greaterveterans.com, and it's spelled GR, the number 8, TER, veterans.com. And, you know, the premise of me as a person summed up by my old battalion motto, where we say never broken by hardship or battle. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to go away. I just might have to refocus my approach and come at it smarter and twice as hard with little bit bigger connections behind me each time. But I mean, right now I need a break. I'm not going to lie. After DC, I'm going to take a few weeks off and just kind of figure out what's next for 2018. We're having a board meeting in January. It'll be the 13th, this upcoming weekend.
Right.
We're meeting at an establishment that's owned by a fellow veteran, which is important to me to try and support any small business and especially veteran business any way I can. And I do that on my own pocket quite frequently. Whether it be merchandise like Grunt Style, which I love, or musicians, products of various kinds.
Right.
Gun holsters, gun shops. I mean, that's kind of what I'm about as a whole, is supporting my brothers and sisters. And, you know, I believe in karma and doing the right thing, and eventually your day comes and your light shines. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Well, so I will give you your sabbatical for whatever that's going to be. But when you do come back, I would love to have you back on, probably on the Red State Talk Radio as well, to give you more exposure. Because I do know that it's just a matter of letting people get to know what the business plan is, what you're trying to do, and, you know, move it forward. Because, you know, when things, good ideas usually take a long time to get traction and to get moving. Bad ideas grow legs quickly. I mean, look at Obamacare. I mean, HillaryCare. I mean, bad ideas just seem to permeate. We're almost out of time, but, you know, I'd like to hold you over for one more segment. And a couple of things I wanted to talk about was political correctness. I may be more of a rant on my own, but I'd like to talk to you about that, as well as Republic Review and your thoughts on that. And we will be right back after this hard break, folks. So please stay tuned, and we will be back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you. Thank you for hanging on, and we are back with Nick Richardson. I got it right this time. So I'm so bad with names that my wife has to always nudge me and help me, and so because she's not here right now, so forgive me for the last faux pas. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, and I know we kind of talked about this, actually there's quite a few things I wanted to ask you, but political correctness. I met you at an event where the speaker came out and said, I do not want to be politically correct. And I just throw out my perception, because the best way you can monopolize the dialogue is shutting and stifling your opposition. And so when we have taken our own DNA of the freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and these types of things, and said, oh, well, I'm not going to talk about these things because it offends people, then we've basically thrown out and are surrendering our freedoms as Americans and basically ignoring our DNA. And so what were your feelings about that?
Well, I mean, I agree with you, of course, and The thing is, everyone kind of forgets what the word right means. They confuse the two with privilege or entitlement. Rights are given to us by God. In the case of the United States and the Constitution, it is shored up and furthermore ensured by our forefathers and their clever writing. I mean, you take the Second Amendment, it doesn't say the right to bear an assault rifle, as some people may call it, which it's not in any sense, or the right to bear a pistol that only holds 10 rounds or less. It doesn't say that. I mean, anyone that insinuates our forefathers had no foresight on firearms is a complete fool, because it's logical to think, as intelligent as those men and women were, that they would naturally understand firearms are going to evolve.
Yes.
Because they always have. Weaponry since caveman days have evolved.
Yes.
So we need to focus on the Constitution first and foremost, and not a lot of people want to do that. I mean, freedom of speech is another good one.
Right.
You know, I mean, just the fact that, you know, if I express my public opinion about somebody, they could sue me. I mean, that alone's absurd. I mean, there's so many different rights that people don't fight for, but then they go out there and they fight for a privilege.
Right. And the court system is not doing its job in protecting your rights of these immunities and privileges that the Constitution guarantees. And actually, as the framers perceived rights, rights weren't just things that were granted. Rights were property. Just the right itself was the property, and that you couldn't take that. It's almost like somebody stealing your car when somebody says we're going to infringe on your ability to speak. It's the same thing as a physical, tangible property that they're taking away from you. That's how they looked at it. And that kind of lets me segue then into, I know I gave you my executive summary on Republic Review. What'd you think?
I liked it. I mean, there's a lot of interesting points in there. The government does need to be audited and reviewed. Their reach has far exceeded what it should be.
Something you've never, ever thought of. I mean, this was a completely different paradigm.
No, I mean, it took it a different direction than I thought.
Right.
So it's not stuff that I never thought. It's just stuff that it reminded me that I do think.
Right, right.
You know, for example, look at the IRS. You know, the Tax Act, what was it, 1917 or 1918 passed?
1916.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
That's
little
okay.
Misquoted there off a few years. But if you really sit down and break down the IRS, no one's ever challenged that. And if you think about everything they do, their mere existence is borderline unconstitutional.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the amendment.
No, it's the Tax Act.
Yeah, the Tax Act was actually the ability to tax, I think, was technically it was 1911 for the amendment for taxation, 16th Amendment. 17th Amendment was 1913, and the Tax Act was after, I think it was just right before Jekyll's Island and before they created the Federal Reserve. And so it was 1916 or 1917, you're right.
Yeah, around there, yeah.
But anyway, getting to this concept of the Constitution being a contract and looking at it in the perspective of contract stakeholders, who are the ones that have the oversight over this and who's been, you know, why are we in this mess? Is because the stakeholders haven't been holding the contract in the sacred, you know, obedience and compliance to that as anybody would with their contract. I mean, you're an employee of some company, and we won't talk about whom or what, but I'll bet you your employer promises that they're going to pay you in dollars. But I'll bet you there's nowhere in the contract that they say that they're going to pay you in cash currency or anything else.
No.
And so that could become gold. They can actually pay you in gold, whatever the commodity rate is for your salary. They'll just equate it to a half an ounce, or, you know, when they pay you, they'll pay you by the ounce. So when you've earned that much, you've earned the ounce. But how would you feel if they started paying you in pine cones, if that became a true traded commodity?
Well, I mean, if it became a traded commodity, maybe it would be okay, but I'd still rather it the way it is. You know, back to your point, you know, a lot of these representatives on both sides of the political fence tend to forget that they serve the people of a government for the people and by the people. And
right.
Every single one of them is impeachable, and, you know, they can be recalled. And
yes.
They maybe some of them need to, and I think it's going to start happening in the next several months. I think the swamp, as President Trump put it, will start to see some drainage. It's just getting rid of the old regime, and, you know.
I think that the swamp is – he's so engulfed in it, not him.
Yeah.
But because D.C., Congress, the lobbyists, and everybody else around him – it's really going to require the states. I think the states are going to be able to start draining the swamp by doing exactly what you talked about, impeachments and so forth, because the Constitution does give the states the ability to charge people with treason, and they can start charging their senators and representatives and so forth. But before I digress, the reason I brought this contract up and the pain in pine cones is because there's no doubt in my mind that people would not allow, you know, themselves. They guard their labor contract, you know, with, you know, vigor. But You know, it is so ambiguous. The framers did not write that contract ambiguously. They wrote it to a gnat's accuracy of what powers they were surrendering to the federal government and what they weren't. And so the most important contract that we have is the contract that, you know, ensures and guarantees our individual liberties and sovereignties as people. And so it just baffles me why people don't want to do that.
Look at unions. I mean, they can raise their rates at any time. They're hard to get out of. They get told by the employer what rights they're negotiating for, and the employees very seldom have a say in it.
Right.
You know, unions in themselves are, in my opinion, useless. I'm not a big fan of unions. I don't join them unless I'm forced to, and you have to dang near force me at gunpoint to have me do it. I currently have the option. I chose not to because I can represent myself just as well. I mean,
right. Well, so unions go back to the fundamental centralizing and collectivizing, and it's the fundamentals of communism. It's in labor only, but in itself, it is driving collectivization and centralizing. And so that's when unions started coming to America, is when communism was actually starting to flourish and starting to rear its head, even before Marx and his Communist Manifesto was even written. Because it goes back, and if you've listened to the show, this goes back to Plato and his Republic of statism and Platonism. And so I'd love you to go back and listen to some of my talks about
definitely.
This. But we don't have a lot of time. And what I'd like to do is just make sure that we have the opportunity in this last minute to let people know that if they come to my podcast page, I will have your links up for this next week or so. And then on my links page, I will put your links information there so that people can, you know, come and find you. They go, hey, on the Reclaiming the Republic show, he had this guy, Greater Veterans. How do I get a hold of him? And so I'll make sure that I put your contact information up there as well. So I just need to make sure I get that from you. And we will have that up there after the podcast is posted, probably in the next day. Any parting shots?
No, just, you know, I want people to support us. Obviously, we're not going to go anywhere. But, you know, if anyone wants to meet with me off the books, on the books, what have you, give me a call, send me an email.
Well, in the near future, we will have you on. And I will, you know, hopefully be able to give some success stories of people that are coming on board and supporting you, and, you know, maybe be able to talk about some ways of getting some support as well. I might have an idea or two. But it was great meeting you and having you on. Thank you so much. And folks, don't forget, we will be reclaiming the Republic with or without your help, and we'd do it much faster with your help. So please stay tuned. We'll be back next week, Reclaiming the Republic. Thank you much.